Blog Talk Radio.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, this is definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and Movie Addict Headquarters is where I sound off each week about at least one current release showing at your local multiplex or available on DVD. Today, it's Ocean's 13, and I'm so happy to report that Adam Hockery, the mad movie man of the University of Wisconsin at River Falls, will also be joining us to share his reactions a little later in the show. Of course, everyone knows I'm a confirmed movie addict, so it's probably no surprise when I say that even when I'm disappointed with a film, I still look forward to its remake and even its sequels. That's the way I felt about Ocean's 13, the second follow-up to Ocean's 11, which, as you remember, was an updating of the 1960 film starring Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and the other members of their Rat Pack. Now, although every one of these heist films actually underwhelmed me, I was eager to see director Steven Soderbergh's latest addition to this popular franchise. Well, film fans, I'm sorry to report that I found Ocean's 13 to be the worst of the bunch. Why? Because it's just too incoherent and listless for me. It really comes alive only during the last half hour when a treacherous Las Vegas casino owner gets his comeuppance from Danny Ocean and his gang. However, with George Clooney playing Danny and Brad Pitt as his pal Rusty, there's certainly plenty of eye candy here, especially when those two don their snazzy tuxedos for the last part of the film. Clooney looks absolutely stunning, as always. Well, except for when he portrayed that hilarious escaped convict in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I think that's probably my favorite George Clooney film. But anyway, in Ocean's 13, he's so cool playing the charismatic leader of a band of con artists and thieves. I remember that in Ocean's 11, Clooney's character spent a great deal of time recruiting the team in order to steal a large sum of money from several Las Vegas casinos in one night. Well, in Ocean's 13, he and Brad Pitt's character spend what seems like even more time explaining their complicated revenge plan to a consultant played by British comic Eddie Izzard. By the way, have you noticed how Eddie Izzard is showing up everywhere lately? The past week, I saw him on The Daily Show, The Tonys, and of course in The Riches, his terrific TV series. Well, we better get back to the movie. Okay, why are Danny and his friends so consumed with revenge now? It's because casino mogul Willie Bank, played by Al Pacino, betrayed Reuben, played by Elliot Gould, who's one of Danny's own. Bank plans a big boffo opening for his new Las Vegas establishment, and he hopes it will earn him another five diamonds rating, just like the other casino hotels all over the world that he owns. Unfortunately, Bank underestimates the cleverness of Danny and his fellow cons. Plus, they've also recruited help from Bank's biggest Las Vegas rival, played by Andy Garcia. Remember, he's the man they robbed in Ocean's 11 and who insisted that they pay him back in Ocean's 12. Well, as in the other Ocean's film, this one features too many characters, and it doesn't have time to do justice to the star-studded cast. Along with Clooney, Pitt, Garcia, and Gould, Matt Damon, Don Cheadle, Casey Affleck, Bernie Mac, Carl Reiner, and Scott Kahn are back for this third adventure, and maybe I've even missed some of the others that are back. And Garcia shines again as a soft-spoken Las Vegas businessman with control issues. But he's not given enough camera time, and I was really sorry about that. Pacino, as the main bad guy in this movie, really did impress me by not yelling and shouting in this movie like he usually does. But he also appears in too few scenes. Now, finally, I'd be remiss not to mention how sad I was to see such a fine actress as Ellen Barkin wasted in the role of Pacino's assistant, who plays a, quote, woman of a certain age, unquote, and engages in a humiliating tryst with a disguised member of Ocean's group. Believe me, film fans, it's not a pretty sight. I think the biggest problem with Ocean's 13 relates to how hard it is to follow. And I don't mean just the con tricks going on, but also the dialogue. Unless you're knowledgeable about such cons as the Susan B. Anthony, the cartwheel, or the Gilroy, you'll probably be as lost as I was. And even conversations about other things left me in the dark, as one scene kept switching quickly to another, and sometimes right in the middle of a sentence. Don't you hate it when that happens? Now, Ocean's 13 made it to the top box office spot this past weekend, even over Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. So the number 13 is not an unlucky number for the Ocean's gang, but it certainly was for me as a viewer. Not to worry, though. As the eternal movie optimist, I'm sure Ocean's 14 will be much better. Now, let's see if Adam has arrived. And yes, he has. We're going to hear from Adam Hockery right now.
Hello there, Betty Jo.
Hi, Adam. I'm so glad you could be on the show today. What did you think about Ocean's 13? Do you think I was a little bit too negative about that movie?
Well, Betty Jo, to be honest, I've had sort of a love-hate relationship with the Ocean's movies. I saw the original Rat Pack version, and I was not a big fan of it. It just kind of seemed like a two-hour party that the Rat Pack was having, and as a movie viewer, I wasn't invited. So
I know what you mean. That's exactly the way I felt about it. And the only thing I liked in that movie was I think Dean Martin sang "Ain't This a Kick in the Head?" And I thought that music kind of was appropriate for that particular film.
Yeah. And I saw the remake, and I really liked the remake of Ocean's 11. It kind of included the audience in on the fun, mostly, well, personally for me, because I'm a big sucker for heist movies and con movies, like The Sting with Robert Redford, Paul Newman. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, that's a great one.
I just never get tired of seeing that. But Ocean's 12 just bored me to tears. I did not like it. It just kind of had this really slow pace, boring story, and kind of a really thin excuse to gather everyone back again. So, and yet I was kind of looking forward to Ocean's 13 despite not having liked Ocean's 12. And I am going to completely disagree with you by saying that Ocean's 13 is the best one that I've seen so far of the series.
Well, that's not saying very much, is it, if you didn't care for the others?
I know, but it's surprising that I liked it as much as I did. So far, this is probably the best movie I've seen all summer.
Oh, no, you liked it that much? Well, what was it about it that you liked? I don't think you can convince me, but try.
I know, but I don't know, just the atmosphere really grabbed me, and, you know, a lot of heist movies kind of tend to bleed into one another. They kind of are the same, like, okay, let's just, introduce the people in there, okay, they're weird, and let's just go after what we do. But here, it's kind of a little bit, you have more of a sense of familiarity with the characters, having seen them in two movies, and they just kind of came into their own here. Like, the Ocean's movies kind of developed their own style. There's one point, I think it's Eddie Izzard's character, who says, "You're analog players in a digital world."
That was the best line in the whole movie, Adam.
Yeah, it's just really setting up the atmosphere of these old school Rat Pack style thieves kind of going up against this ruthless businessman, and in this world that's more technology than just getting off on your coolness and your wit. And I thought that angle of the story just really appealed to me, and that's what I thought that aspect of the story is what really intrigued me in how...
I hate to interrupt, but I wanted to make sure that you commented on the ending of the movie. I did like the sort of upbeat ending and the comeuppance that Pacino's character got, as well as, in a sense, Andy Garcia's. We don't want to say much more than that because we want viewers to be surprised, but how did the ending stack up for you?
The ending was... pretty good for me. I would say that not necessarily the ending, but one of the climactic elements that involved a character from Ocean's 12 who pops up in here, that's one of the aspects of the movie that I didn't really like, is how they just kind of threw him in there for this character for this one extra twist that I didn't really think was needed. And I didn't think Pacino really got to do as much as he could have, considering he's Al Pacino.
Right, I agree wholeheartedly on that. But at least he didn't get to shout. He was subdued, considering the type of character he played.
Exactly. He's not so much abrasive as he is pretty much your just standard movie villain. And he does a good job, but when Pacino's involved, you don't want him to be just a standard movie villain, because you know he has much more talent. He has much more talent to be better than that.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right about that. Well, did you understand these con artist operations they were talking about, like the cartwheel, the Susan B. Anthony, that they talked about so much in the movie and then didn't explain what they were?
Well, when I heard those terms being thrown around, I kind of thought back to Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, when one of the characters says, "Do you think he plans this, or does he make it up as he goes along?" And I think part of the charm of Ocean's 13 and its whole style is that they're just kind of making stuff up. Like, oh yeah, here's the Irwin Allen. I don't think that really exists. Part of the movie's charm that it just kind of invents these cons and goes along with them.
So you don't think those were important enough for people to know about? more or less the camaraderie and the style of the movie that you appreciated.
And I just really liked the weird humor they kind of had with the movie, especially in the whole subplot about how they're trying to get the chemicals necessary to make this like special kind of dice, and they end up inciting this workers' revolt in Mexico that I just got a big kick out of. That was really, really fun.
I'm going to have to invite you back to talk a little more about this. I hope you will come back on the show. I think our time is running out right now, but it's always a pleasure to talk with the Mad Movie Man and to get your reaction. So can I get you to agree to come back on and visit the Movie Addict headquarters?
I look forward to my next visit, Betty Jo.
Thanks,
Adam. Thank you very
much
for having me.
Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for coming on the show. Take care now. Also like to thank the other listeners who've tuned in today. This is Betty Jo Tucker inviting you all back to Movie Addict headquarters again next week for a discussion of Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. It should be super fun. Bye for now.